Good morning. I want to start with that first reading that we heard from the prophet Isaiah. Our Lord, speaking through Isaiah, says, "Say to those whose hearts are frightened." We're going to come back to that, but whose hearts are frightened today? We're going to come back to that. But he says, "Be strong, fear not. Here comes your God with vindication, with divine recompense." We're going to come back to that. But then he talks about then, meaning when this God comes, who Isaiah is prophesying about, then when he comes, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be cleared. And now fast forward to this gospel that we just heard. Certainly, any Jewish person in the day of our Lord would have been familiar with this prophecy from Isaiah. Isaiah, arguably the most famous of all of the Hebrew prophets. And when they see this guy Jesus come around, and they're still trying to figure out who and what exactly he is, and they see him perform this miracle that we hear about in today's gospel, one among many, but this particular miracle of opening up the ears of one who was deaf, and similar miracles like it, the blind regaining their sight. Certainly, they would have eventually thought of this prophecy and ones like it. This prophecy that this must be the guy about whom we have been told so much in the prophets. This must be the guy about whom so much is written, about whom it is said will bring with him divine recompense, will bring vindication, and will remove blindness and deafness, but not just a physical blindness and deafness, but a spiritual blindness and deafness. Because after all, our Lord is not as interested in fixing a temporary problem as he is in fixing a permanent problem. Right? This guy who was deaf, who can now hear, well, there may still be, there may or may not, still be a spiritual deafness. That's what's going to have the eternal consequences, not a physical deafness or blindness. So I want to talk about this blindness and deafness that we can still see today. Because when our Lord came, he is absolutely fulfilling those prophecies that we hear about in the Old Testament, Isaiah chief among them. But he is beginning to bring about the kingdom of God. Now, we know and we believe as Catholics, as Christians, that the kingdom of God is not going to be fully brought about until our Lord comes again in glory, right? And we only need to look around the world and to see that there is still so much blindness and deafness, physical and spiritual, to know that, well, obviously the kingdom of God has not completely arrived, because if it did, then there wouldn't be the blindness and deafness that we still see around the world today. So, you know, we have this already and not yet. Yes, our Lord came 2,000 years ago and he inaugurated the kingdom of God, beginning to bring it about. But we also know that it's not yet complete. And it won't be fully complete until our Lord comes again. But this is where we come in. What did our Lord tell us to pray in the Our Father? "Thy kingdom come." Why would our Lord have commanded us to pray for God's kingdom to come if we didn't have a part to play in that? Our Lord is telling us that we have a part to play in helping to bring about God's kingdom, but at the same time, to not get frustrated when we see that it's not fully here yet. Because we look around and we can say, why isn't this deafness and blindness gone? And I want to talk about some of this spiritual blindness and deafness that I know I've seen a lot of recently. And I'm sure many of you have too. You know, these past 2 weeks, we had the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, right? And don't worry, I'm going to bash both of them equally. And lest anyone wonder, as I've said a few times before from the pulpit, I am a registered independent because I don't really agree with either completely. And it's so frustrating for me to see coming out of both camps evidence that the blindness and deafness is still around. And we get so frustrated sometimes, and we are sometimes those ones whose hearts are frightened, that Isaiah is talking about in the beginning of his first reading. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not, your God is coming with vindication and with divine recompense. You know, when we wonder how is it that some people can turn a blind eye to the fact that there are so many people who are suffering, who don't have the basic necessities of life, who don't have education available to them, who don't have food available to them, who don't have basic medicine available to them. How can someone turn a blind eye to that? We also wonder, how can someone turn a blind eye to the fact that over 3,000 human beings are being killed every single day in the womb? How can we turn a blind eye to that? How can we be deaf to cries of war? When is war ever really going to be the answer? You know, how can we ever think that that's going to be the best way? How can we turn a blind eye when people want to redefine the age-old institution of marriage, which, by the way, is supposed to be a sacrament of Christ's love for his church. It's supposed to be a symbol of God's love for each and every one of us. You know, and again, coming from both political parties, and we can get so frustrated, and we can say, well, they're both wrong to a certain degree. They're both wrong. And the one thing that would keep us from getting so frustrated is that we know at the end of the day that it's God who's going to set everything right. That's what Isaiah is telling us. Because I don't know about you, but my heart is often frightened when I wonder, where is the country, where is the world going? No matter who we elect, we're still going to have problems, right? And I know for me, and I imagine for many of you, we can be frightened. We can say, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to our country, to our world, to humanity? And the one thing that perhaps can keep us from getting so utterly depressed is to know that at the end of the day, it's God who is going to fix all of the wrongs. He's going to right every wrong, fix all of our problems. God is the one who is coming with vindication and divine recompense. You know, I try to avoid my news feed on Facebook now, because those of you who are on Facebook, just ignore this part of the homily. But those of you who are on Facebook, you know what I mean. You get on Facebook and instantly you just see so much of this back and forth, so much of this. Loaded, all these arguments back and forth. And I just get so frustrated because I wonder, well, how don't you see that abortion is wrong? How don't you see that war is wrong? How don't you see that it's wrong to, you know, not let people prosper in this country? How don't you see that it's wrong to redefine this institution of marriage that is supposed to be a symbol of God's love for each and every one of us, of Christ's love for the church? So what I do is I just ignore my news feed. If I want to post something, I just post something, but I ignore that news feed because, you could get so caught into that. You could get so caught into that and so frightened, wondering what is going to happen. What is going to happen? Why can't people see that this is wrong or that that's wrong? But at the end of the day, what we have to go on is our knowledge here that God is the one who is going to set everything right. God is the one who is going to come with vindication and recompense. We need to do our part, yes. We need to pray for God's kingdom to come, and we need to do our part, but we need to recognize that it's ultimately God who is going to convert hearts. It's God who is going to make the most pro-choice person at the end of the world realize how wrong they were. It's God who is going to make, you know, the person who is so opposed to universal health care realize that certain things are basic human rights. It's God who is ultimately going to fix those wrongs. and correct those misunderstandings. It's God who is ultimately going to confront people with the truth. And either they will accept it or they will not accept it, but they will know that it is the truth. It's God who is going to do that. God is coming with vindication, with divine recompense. Now, yes, we have our part to play, but we can't get caught up. We can't get frustrated, and we can't be one of those peoples whose hearts remain frightened. We have to recognize that it is God who is going to do this. And what is it that St. James is telling us in that second reading? Show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. He makes this example of rich and poor, but I think we could use his same advice to make a distinction between left and right, conservative and liberal, Democrat and Republican. If we cling to any of those titles before we cling to being a Catholic Christian, we're going to have problems. If we show partiality as we adhere to the faith, and don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you all have to go and register as independents, but what I am saying is that we cannot be anything before we are a Christian. We cannot be anything else first. We need to show no partiality as we adhere to the faith. And we don't fit in as Catholics. We have a wonderful history of not fitting in this country. And that's what made us, I think, so successful. And I think is the key to us continuing to be a successful leaven in society, is that we don't fit into people's predefined categories. That we have problems with all political parties, that we don't fit in. I think that is our key to success, to continuing to be the leaven that we have been in the American society. We must show no partiality as we adhere to the faith. We must not get caught up and distressed and frightened about where we see the world going. We should be concerned, and we should pray, and we should work, and we should do everything we can to bring about the kingdom of God, but we should also rest in knowing what Isaiah tells us in that first reading, that it is God who is coming with divine recompense. It is God who is coming with vindication. It is God who is going to come again, as we profess in the Creed, that Christ will come again and one day set all of the wrongs right.